Today we could study the Apostle Peter. We could study the Apostle Paul. But today I'm going to introduce you to the name of Tychicus. That's right. How many of you have ever heard a message on Tychicus?
In today's society, dependability and faithfulness are not often celebrated as important anymore. It's more about what's in it for me. Unfortunately, that's the case even in some Christian circles. Well, hello, I'm Bill Wright. And today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green begins the teaching series titled, The Faithful Servant. So Don, why did you choose to highlight an unknown Bible character for this series?
Well, Bill, there's a simple explanation, really. There is so much quiet faithfulness in the body of Christ. And my friend, if you are a disciple of Christ and you simply want to love and serve Him with your life, the four principles from this brief series will certainly encourage you. Let me just say in advance, you stay the course in what you're doing and excel still more.
Thanks, Don. And friend, let's join our teacher now with insights from God's Word on the Truth Pulpit.
What I want to do today is study a Bible character that you don't know about, but I think that he will encourage you in your own service to Christ. We're going to be talking about the marks of a faithful disciple as we study God's Word together today. And as I have prepared this message, one thing you have to understand is that I kind of carry with me throughout the week a mental image of this audience, and I can picture where different people usually sit, and I mentally picture you throughout the week as I pray for you and as I prepare to preach especially. As I prepared this particular message, beloved, and thought about the people that we have here in Grace Life, I've honestly been staggered by the recognition of the vast quantity of quiet faithfulness that is represented in this room. From the weekly volunteers at Grace to You, to the musicians who serve here every week, from the nursery to our group events, from the soundboard to our Bible study leaders, from those who work in our CD ministry to those who do our counseling, from those who support ministry with their resources to families who get their children ready for church on Sunday morning and somehow get here on time. Through all of those waves of quiet faithfulness in the face of the responsibilities that God has given to you, this message today is for you. This message is to show you that the Bible affirms your faithfulness and promises God's reward to you, even if what you are doing here is of a nature that it gets overlooked by men. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says that God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. As I was preparing this message today, the question came to me, what Bible character do we study to learn about that kind of faithfulness that most of us can identify with? Now, typically, when a character study is done, it's of some great and prominent figure in the Bible. And that's perfectly appropriate. Today, we could study the Apostle Peter. But most of us aren't going to preach a sermon in which 3,000 souls get saved. There's a certain distance there. We could study the Apostle Paul, but his authority and leadership are roles that are outside the experience of those of us in this room. Yes, we could rightly focus on such men and many others, but today Beloved, I want to call your attention to a man whose realm of activity probably more closely approximates our own. Someone whose very lack of prominence perhaps gives us something unique to learn from. So today I'm going to introduce you to such a man. I'm speaking about a faithful companion of Paul by the name of Tychicus. Tychicus. That's right. How many of you have ever heard a message on Tychicus? After today, you will no longer be able to say no to that question. Here's the point, beloved. The Apostle Paul did not minister alone. Yes, he is rightly the focus of so much of the New Testament's attention, particularly after Acts chapter 12, 13 epistles that bear his name, and the impact that he has had not only on the church but on the course of world history could scarcely be overstated. But beloved, the Apostle Paul did not minister alone. The Apostle Paul had faithful men around him who assisted in his ministry and who enabled his ministry to take place. And that is the role that so many of us fill in the church. It's that one that assists alongside the one who has the more prominent role. One of those men was a man named Tychicus. Now, Tychicus is mentioned in five passages of the Bible, and I want to run you through those real quickly and then help you assess what we can learn from his life. Believe me, there is a good takeaway for you today. It's kind of interesting the way I happened to prepare this. I was simply reading through the book of Ephesians, and we'll come to this passage, but at the end of the book of Ephesians, Paul tells the audience of that letter that he was going to send Tychicus with the letter and he would report to them. Now, normally when you get to the end of Ephesians, you say, okay, the important stuff is over. Let's just blow through this and get on to something else. But it struck me that here is Paul in a Roman prison getting ready to send out a man who is going to bear the message that he had for all of the world. There's something significant about a man in that position, and it prompted me to look into it, and I found things that I wanted to share with you. So we're going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20, and like I say, I'm just going to quickly survey the passages that talk about Tychicus, and then from there we'll talk about the marks of a faithful disciple. But in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 3, Paul is on his third missionary journey, and Luke is telling us about one aspect of the journey. And in verse 3 it says, "And there he spent 3 months, and when a plot was formed against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And he," meaning Paul, "was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia." This is the first biblical mention of this man. We have no record of anything that he said anywhere in the Bible. He's kind of functioning in the background. But here in Acts chapter 20, we learn that he was part of a traveling group with the Apostle Paul. And at this time, Paul was taking an offering from the Gentile churches to the church in Jerusalem. He was en route to Jerusalem with an offering that had been collected from the different churches. And these men that are with him were likely the official representatives of their respective churches who were going to accompany Paul as he took this offering to Jerusalem. Even there, beloved, we see something interesting about Tychicus. He was obviously a man of faithfulness in his local congregation, so much so that they selected him and Trophimus to go out and to represent them with the Apostle Paul. While the name Tychicus is not familiar to us, and up until now has not been very important to us. Put yourself back in time to the circumstances and just use a little bit of filling out with your imagination the situation that is quite obvious from the text, that the people who knew Tychicus respected him enough that they would entrust this collection of money to him and say, Tychicus, you take this and you represent us with it. They knew him to be a faithful man. Now, this passage in Acts, and I'm going to give you some dates. I want you to take a mental note of these dates because it's going to become important later. This passage in Acts takes place in about A.D. 57. A.D. 57 is when this takes place. That's what we see about Tychicus in Acts chapter 20. Now, with that in mind, with that introduction of Tychicus, turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. This is the passage that I was going through that kind of was the seed of this message today. Ephesians, chapter 6. This great epistle where Paul lays forth such great doctrinal truth in the first three chapters and then applies it and shows what the implications are for believers in the last three chapters of Ephesians, chapter 6. Paul wrote this when he was imprisoned in Rome. He was not free to move about. He was not free to go and deliver this message personally. He needed someone trustworthy to carry the letter for him. And look at chapter 6, verse 21, where he says, "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts." Turn over to the book of Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians and Ephesians were two letters that parallel each other in themes, and the reason for that is that Paul wrote them at the same time. And he was going to send Tychicus out carrying both the letter of the Ephesians and the letter to the Colossians and have him deliver them to the churches. Now look at Colossians 4, verse 7. It's a very close parallel, a lot of verbal similarities to what we just read in Ephesians. But Paul says, "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here." Now, we're going to come back to those passages, at least the one in Ephesians. But Paul wrote these letters, Ephesians and Colossians, in about A.D. 61, 4 years after the events in the book of Acts. They provide the fullest information that we have about Tychicus, and it's expressed through Paul's high estimation of him. And so he gives these letters to Tychicus and sends him out. Now, beloved, in our media-saturated culture, in a culture like ours that worships at the altar of glamour and prominence and power, Tychicus's job might not seem too impressive. But think with me. It may seem like a menial task, but consider this. The distribution of God's word in its original autograph was entrusted to this man. The letters that you have in your Bible, titled Ephesians and Colossians, are in your Bible because this man, Tychicus, was faithful to the small task that was entrusted to him. He was handling key New Testament letters that we're still reading today. The ministry of those letters is traced back in part to the faithfulness of this man to a seemingly small task. Now, is the driver who carries the gold bars to Fort Knox insignificant? No, you need someone trustworthy. The value of what Tychicus was carrying shows the value of the man who was entrusted with the task. That was A.D. 61. Now, turn to the book of Titus, written in A.D. 65. A.D. 65, Titus chapter 3, verse 12. Paul, writing to Titus, who is in Crete, setting in order what remains and appointing elders in every city as Paul directed him to do. In Titus chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes this. He says, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." Titus, in this prominent role, overseeing the churches in that area, trying to establish some order, Paul says to him, "I need you to come and be with me for the winter." They had things that needed to be discussed. Paul needed to see Titus and work with him. And there is this crucial work that Titus was doing that was so important that Paul wrote three chapters to him to reinforce and to strengthen him in what needed to be done. Crucial work. Paul says, "But I need to see Titus. Who could I send to fulfill the role? Who can step into Titus's role and free him up so that he can come to see me?" He says, "I know. It's either Artemas or it's Tychicus. I'll send one of them to be able to do the work." And here again is Tychicus in a servant's role. Get this, beloved. Following instruction so that someone else can be free to do the work that God has given to them. That's the role of a servant. Every time you see Tychicus in the New Testament, he's going somewhere at the instruction of somebody else. He's always under orders. He's carrying out instructions that someone else has given to him. That's the role of a servant. A role, beloved, that is at a great discount in our society. A role that's at a discount in the Western church. But in the Bible's eyes, an important role. In God's eyes, an important role. The role of a servant, the role of following instruction, of providing a service so that someone else can do their role. Listen, beloved, ministry in the church doesn't happen without people like that. Paul didn't do it alone. John MacArthur doesn't do it alone, and the things that happen in here in Grace Life don't happen because of the two men that stand in front here most of the time. It requires faithful people, everybody playing their part, so that the totality of the work can be done. That's what Tychicus points us to. Now, Paul wrote Titus. Another 3 years passed. It's A.D. 67 or A.D. 68. Turn to 2 Timothy. This is Paul's swan song. Chronologically, the last letter that we have from him. And now he is facing execution. He knows that his time is about over. And he wants to see Timothy. He's eager for Timothy to see him. If you look at chapter 4, verse 13, he's anticipating Timothy's coming. He says, "When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas." This is 2 Timothy 4:13. I don't know if I made that plain or not. "When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments." Well, who's going to take care of things while Timothy's away with Timothy's responsibilities? Look up one verse, 2 Timothy 4, verse 12. "But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." It was Tychicus who would take over for Timothy so that Timothy could join Paul in Rome. Again, the role of a servant, the role of one following orders, following instructions. Not a word in the New Testament recorded from the lips of Tychicus. But beloved, and I know we read past these verses, I've read past all of these verses dozens of times, never given Tychicus a thought, just like you. But if we stop and think and put ourselves in the position of the Apostle Paul, we get a picture of how crucial this man was to our beloved Apostle. Think about it. Paul knows the end is near. He's writing out his final wishes. He's conscious of death lingering over his head. And that time in Paul's life speaks to how faithful Tychicus was, how reliable he was. Because listen, beloved, when the urgency of death is on your mind and you have a job that needs to be done, you don't send a man about whom there is any question to fulfill your dying wishes. You choose a man, they say, I know this man will get it done. Tychicus, got another assignment for you, brother. Ephesus, that's where I want you. Tychicus says, I'm on my way. You want someone faithful at a time like that. You want someone who will subordinate their own interests to the greater interests of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greater interests of the one that God has installed in authority, like he did the Apostle Paul. Those are the five passages that we have about Tychicus. You say, you're going to get another half hour out of this? Yes, beloved, trust me. I will. Because we're going to reflect on the life of Tychicus and try to bring some practical application to it as well. Because if you're here as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sins, you have put your faith in Christ for salvation, and you say, I want to follow you as Lord. What does that life look like that follows? What is it that a faithful life looks like to the one who died for our sins? For most of us, it's not going to be in a position where a lot of people see what we're doing. For most of us, it's going to be in the shadows. It's going to be where there's not much recognition. What does it mean to be faithful at a time like that? Well, beloved, think about it. Let's start from this point. Wherever you're at in life, this applies to every one of you. All of us have responsibilities. All of us have duties that life has given to us. Many, some of us few, but there is a responsibility in front of you. What does it mean to be faithful? It means that you fulfill the duty. This isn't complicated. Faithfulness is marked by a recognition of duty and doing it. And you say, well, that's so simple. You studied Greek to tell us that? Listen, beloved, if you're around Christian circles for too long, you realize that the simplicity of that is not always marked by the execution of it, the following through, the faithfulness to do it, so that the people who actually see their responsibility and fulfill it stand out from the crowd because the standard set by most is lower than that. You can't depend upon them. And so, when I look out and I see people that I can trust, I see people, I know what they're supposed to do, and I know they're doing it, that stands out. That, beloved, is an encouragement to your pastor's heart.
What an important reminder for us as Christians to be that faithful person when someone says, I need your help. We shouldn't hesitate to say, I'm on my way. And friend, there's more to learn about that very thing on our next program, when Pastor Don Green continues the series titled The Faithful Servant. That's right here on The Truth Pulpit. But right now, Don's back here in studio, and he has a special invitation for you.
My friend, if you enjoy these broadcasts, I am sure that you would enjoy the live stream of our church services from Truth Community Church. We meet Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. You'll find the live stream link prominently displayed at the top of our website, thetruthpulpit.com. Drop us a note at the website to let us know. Even your brief note helps us know that our resources are reaching friends who want to grow in God's Word. Thank you, and may Christ be with you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about podcasts. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, inviting you back next time when Don Green presents more from The Truth Pulpit.